here. Just really grateful for you. Mike's become a dear friend of mine, pastors at 4C Community Church. And then there's one church that here has just been just absolutely amazing. Grace Community Church has given so just generously, financially, but then just when we had no office or anything, and they've let us use their staff to help us get off our feet, and now through this process, but gave a ton when we had no money so that we could even talk to buildings to try and buy, and then gave again in this last generosity initiative. And then when we moved in here, they said, well, why don't we give you a $50,000 soundboard too? I said, can we just do it again? Praise God. Praise God. And look, none of this is about a building. None of this is about a building. It's about seeing our God transform lives, that we would become his worshipers, we'd live our lives for him, we'd have the peace, the joy, the hope of being his sons and daughters, and bringing the good news of the gospel to so many who don't yet know him. And a part of that is just lives transformed. So it's really fitting this morning that we would introduce some new members. So if you're stepping into membership, if you've said, hey, this is my church home, I want this to be my church body, my family, would you come on up? And Neil is going to introduce you and ask you some questions to share. So if you are stepping into church, yeah, you should be moving now if you're stepping into church membership. Yep, come on up quickly. We'll clap you up so you'll run faster.
Good morning. All right, we have everyone? Almost. There we go. All the way from the balcony, the Louis. So membership here at the Well, is a commitment in three areas: to align with the beliefs of the church, to participate in the rhythms of the church, and to invest the talents, treasure, and time that God has given us into the church. So we're just really, really excited to mark this moment and celebrate you guys choosing to do that here this morning, on this very special morning. We'd love to hear just very briefly you guys' answer to this simple question, which is just why are you choosing to join the Well, and what are you hoping God will do in and through you as members of the Well? So do you mind starting?
So Matt, Louis, if you don't know me. I think, you know, when I think about membership, I just think about, you know, living in D.C. is hard, and you're around people all the time who have different beliefs, and so membership really is about us committing to you to walk with you, and then you committing to us to help us and hold us accountable.
Hi, I'm Nayang, and we're excited to, with this membership, to just really reach out to our neighbors. We've been here for 7 years, and our neighbors are just really unchurched. And our daughter is really excited that I just really want her to grow up in a community.
My name is Uloma. I moved from California to here in November and started a search for a church that fits my need. A church where I can serve the Lord with all my heart.
My name is Marlene, and I am just excited to be here and to be a part of this congregation and call this my church home. And I'm looking forward to these next years to deepen relationships both with the Lord and with different ones being here.
So Neil, you and the rest of you may be in trouble because my nickname is Rambling Ron. I'm going to try to be succinct though, but Marlene and I moved to this area, to the Silver Spring area, about a year ago. And with a move comes new neighbors and new mechanics and new everything, including a new church. And here we are in a new building. And it didn't take us very long. In fact, Marlene was the one I will credit to have found the Well on the website. And we felt from the very day one that we were wanted, that we felt warmed and we felt welcomed. And so the thing we're looking forward to is being able to team together, like we say, following Jesus together for the good of the world. We want to be a blessing, and we want to be blessed by you so that together we can find workers for Jesus next door to everywhere.
Good morning, church. My name is David. I've been attending here for about 4 years and chose the well because it honors Jesus, period.
Sorry, I'm keeping my mask on. I am still recovering from a cold. I hope you can all hear me through this mask. I'm going to beat all of you out because I've been coming to the well for 8 years, and I just felt like that it was finally time to become a member of the well. The first day that I came, I just remembered how welcoming and loving everybody is and how unconditionally loving everybody has become. You all have become my family, and to be a part of this church community where it is okay for me to be vulnerable, even in the darkest periods of my life, I have never felt that way before in a church community. And I am just looking forward for the next year as I'm going through some really big changes in my life. I am just looking forward to being a part of community that will continue to support me, love me, and challenge me in the gospel to hold on to God. And I have just been so grateful these past 8 years to have found a church home that I can call my community. And I am so happy to become a member today.
Let's pray together. If you all would extend your hands towards these folks. Father, we who were all once so far away, you brought near through the blood of your Son and made part of your family. One expression of which is this church, Lord, and we are thrilled this morning to be welcoming more brothers and sisters into this covenant community. It's amazing to see the rhythm of grace, Lord. These folks were all strangers at one point in time, not very long ago, and now they're all known and loved. We receive that grace and we ask for more of it boldly. There's so many more neighbors and friends and coworkers. Lord, we would love to see enjoying the same joy. Pray in their time here for as long as you have them in this place, Lord, that they would be blessed and encouraged by this body and be a blessing and encouragement to this body. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's clap it up for them. No. No way. Oh, shoot. No way. Oh, gosh. Our God is just getting started. This building isn't a destination. It's not like we now say, oh, we made it. Our God is just getting started. And I cannot wait to see as he continues his work for his glory and his purposes as he rescues his people here through us by his grace. I just cannot wait to see what he does. This was almost 13 years ago, the last worship service in our basement.
Mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
We're starting a new series today and a new season as a church, and the series is all about who we are. Who are we? In Acts chapter 1, all we're going to do is sit in one verse to capture the moment of who we are as God's people. And here's what Luke says in verse 1 of Acts. He says, in the first book, and there he's talking about the Gospel of Luke, the first book he wrote. In the first book, O Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had commanded through the Holy Spirit. In the first book, Luke says, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And here in the book of Acts, Luke says, I'm going to write about all that he continues to do and teach. Because began implies continues. And began implies that what he did in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus, he now will continue to do through his church and through his people and through his Spirit now and forever until he returns. Our God is at work, and what he has begun, he will continue. And oh, God, I cannot wait to see what you do next. This is a pivot verse between the Gospel of Luke and the story of Acts in the early church. And the story then, in one sense, begins in the Gospel of Luke. All Jesus began to do and to teach. What did he do? What did he teach? What Jesus did when he walked this earth is nothing short of radically transforming our lives and radically bringing a new kingdom system to bear on earth. He walked around and he loved people that no one else loved. He embraced those that no one else embraced. He poured himself out for the people that everyone else overlooked. Our God, our Savior, Jesus, what he did was he gave his life as a ransom for many to transform radically our lives, to give us salvation. That's what he did. We owe the wages of our sin, which was death. And Jesus said, you know what I do? I'll pay it. We fall woefully short of our God's standards, even our own standards. You know it as well as I do. And we get to receive Jesus' righteousness as our very own. Jesus says, I'll do what you did not do. I'll do it. I will transform your lives. And then he brought a new kingdom system to live here on earth, which is that same give our lives away for others in the way Christ did. That's what Jesus did in the book of Luke, and he continues in the book of Acts. What did he teach? He taught that in him alone is life and salvation eternal. It's the good news of the gospel that you and I, we could never earn salvation and eternal life. And the good news of the gospel that Jesus taught is in him is life and salvation and hope and peace and purpose. In him can we be forgiven and embraced. In him can we have purpose and security and satisfaction because of who he is and what he did. That's what he taught. In sum, at the end of Luke, Jesus puts it this way in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and following. He says, Jesus should suffer. He's talking to his disciples after he's resurrected. And he says that the Christ, or Jesus, would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. In him is life. In him is forgiveness and acceptance and grace from God himself to us. But then it's amazing that Acts is begun with that little verse that says, all that Jesus began to do and teach, because in the beginning of Acts, well, what happens? Well, Jesus ascends. And we're thinking, where'd you go? What are you doing? And then he says to his disciples, through these angels that come, they say, well, why do you stand? Go, get after it. Be the church. Why? Because all that Jesus began to do when he was here on earth, he now continues in his Spirit who reigns on earth, and through his church, his Spirit, his church, church, Jesus himself through us doing his work here on earth until he returns. And so what does Jesus do through his church and through his spirit here on earth after he's ascended as we're waiting for his return? What's he do? We read it all in the book of Acts. Through us, through his church, he does the same things he did when he was on earth. He loves those who are unlovable. He feeds the hungry. He cares for the poor. He does just what he did on earth. He heals. He brings hope and life and peace. Well, what does he teach through the church and through his people to huge groups and tiny little groups and to black and white and all the different groups through the church? Everyone can come in by the grace of God is what is taught in the book of Acts. If you would just receive what Christ has done for you, you too can become a son and daughter of the King. That's what he taught through his church and through his spirit. Jesus today then is working in and through us, and this is what makes us, his church, who we are. That's what we'll call the series as we get into it next week. That's the title slide for the series. That's all us, the church. Because this is not about a building. It's what he began to do and continues to do in and through us, his church, his people, his body, the soldiers of God, the living temple, right, built on Christ, his people. He, Jesus, makes us who we are. He began a good work in so many of you. He continues it now. And wow, what will he do next? Around here, we've often and always said, well, this is just who we are, simply. We're following Jesus together for the good of his world. This is what we're about. Jesus has made us who we are, his people, for purposes here on earth. And I want to just share a couple principles of, man, what it looks like when Jesus begins and continues to work in you and in through us as his people. And really, there are a lot of principles that, gosh, we learned in this buying a building process. As we are following Jesus together for the good of his world, we said, Lord, would you root us? Would you root us for a generational work of the gospel? Because we're paying currently, back where we were, $10,000 a month, and then a few thousand dollars for offices as well. We're paying that for 3 hours on a Sunday morning, 2 hours on a Wednesday night, and at any time the lease can be ended with 2 months' notice. Would you root us for the work of the gospel here? And we thought, man, this will be pretty clean and clear, and he's just going to do it. It's going to be amazing. But here's what we've learned in the process when Jesus begins and continues a work in us personally and in us as his church. The first thing we learned is this: it's going to take far longer than you expect. The work that Jesus has begun and is doing in your life is going to take far longer than you expect. It was 13 years ago, and that's our family. That was us 13 years ago when we came to plant the church. I love Jake. I don't even know what he's doing. He's just like, now he's 18. He's like a man, you know. And Brooke and Leah weren't even born. You know, all through the book of Acts, here's what we see. Luke will slip in, he'll say something like, and Paul spent 2 years there. And we'll just read it, and we'll gloss over it. And he spent 4 years there. And we'll just read it, we'll gloss over it. All that Jesus has begun to do and teach, well, it took 2 years here, and 4 years there, and 8 years there. And we know we don't feel that. But this, it's been 13 years here, right? That's our family now. We're a good-looking crew. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. I mean, it's just awesome. 13 years. You know, I'll never forget when we first came, and I was in Safeway, and there was a Starbucks there. That's why, because that was my office, you know, and I was officing in Safeway and Starbucks, and I remember writing out the plans, right? You know, 5-6 months in, you know, be 50 to 100 people, and then we'll plant our first church probably a year or so in. And then God will give us a space. We'll plant 3 or 4 more churches. I'm an awesome preacher. We're going to get awesome worship leaders. It's going to be amazing so quick. 13 years later, the Lord says, my work, it takes far longer than you'd expect. Remember when we went to buy Marvin Memorial right up the road, just about a quarter mile? We thought, man, that's going to be amazing. That was 4 years ago we started looking for a permanent space. Actively looking for a permanent space for 4 years as an elder team and church. The work will take far longer because it's an eternal work deep and down in who we are as his people, individually, and us as a church. He's doing an eternal work. And one day he will return and complete it. Man, what a day it's going to be. But the work will be far longer, and it will also be far messier. The work that Jesus does in you, right? If he's begun a work in you, you already know this. I mean, he starts dismantling parts of your heart, your life, and your priorities in ways you're like, whoa, no, you can't take that too. And it gets messy. You know, we see it in the book of Acts. This church has begun. Jesus, his body here on earth, doing his work. And they're like, oh, yeah, let's serve and care for people. And then they're like, whoa, but what about all those widows that need our service and care? And they're like, dang it, we got to get on that. So they're over there trying to fix that out. And then Paul and Barnabas and Mark and others, they get in these huge fights. And they're like, no, we got to go there. No, you can't go there. It's messy. It's ugly. The work that Jesus has begun and continues to do in you, it's going to take far longer, and it's going to be really messy. Like I said, 4 years ago, and it's through all these no's of building after building, the messy work where we realize God is actually doing a deeper work of dependence. He wants us to be more deeply dependent on him, and he wanted to expand, make our faith even greater than we ever could have imagined even our faith would be. So here's what happened. About 4 years ago, it was thrown right on our plate. Hey, do you guys want to buy Marvin Memorial just right up the road? And actually, I've been praying for that building and then this building from the first day when we moved here. And I'll tell you what, actually, I gave up praying for this one. I'm not kidding. And I gave up really early. Because, well, for a whole bunch of reasons I won't get into. And Marvin Memorial was put in front of us, and I thought, this is it. This is the Lord. Like, he just gave us our first opportunity to buy a building. He's just going to quick and clean, done. It's ours, right? Nice and clean. Amazing. You're amazing, God. And then he put it right in front of us. We nearly destroyed the elder team going through it because I was a jerk and an idiot. And the Lord took that building away. And here's what he did. He was doing a deeper work of dependence, a greater work of faith. Here's what he did. He gave it to a church we helped plant. Wonderful pastor, Pastor Endok, Ethiopian pastor. I mean, he's like the Billy Graham of Ethiopia. He's amazing. And he's here. He's leading Four Corners Ethiopian Church, evangelical, right up the road in Marvin Memorial, the building we thought we were supposed to buy. And you know what the Lord taught me in that moment? This is not about you and your kingdom. So you better get that out of your mind and your heart right now. Well, then he put a bank and a synagogue and a parking lot and then Northwood Presbyterian and all these others. And we went forward and forward all the way to the very end of even just like right to the doorstep of purchasing. I mean, contracts out there, everything. Building after building after building and no after no after no. And you know what he's teaching me in every no? Just this. Total surrender. Because in the work he's doing in your life and through you for his purposes, he wants you so deeply dependent on him that he would get the glory. He wants to grow your faith more and more that he would get the glory. He's doing a deeper and greater work than you ever could have imagined. And then we had it. We the one up near Chick-fil-A, we thought, this is the one. But here's what happened in that one. Hey, $6 million that one was going to be. And I thought, no way. We can't go towards that. And I had a couple conversations with a few of you, and in that you said, well, where's your faith? And I said, my faith isn't quite that big. And he said, well, it needs to be. And the Lord expanded my faith. So we put a $6.2 million offer on that building, and they said no at the last minute. And then it was that next morning I was walking to the bus stop with my good friend who said, well, why don't you buy this church? Because the work that our God is doing in and through us for his purpose is going to take far longer. It is far messier than we thought. And oh, man, is it greater. Oh, man, is it greater. And now I look at it as we sit in this building and I just think, oh, that's what you were doing. And that's what happens in our lives when we say, Lord, do as you please. I want you to do a work in me and through me for your purposes. I know it's going to be long. I know it's going to be messy. But God, I trust you. It's going to be greater. So I have just a couple things to say to you and to me and to us as a church personally. And here's the first. Let the Lord begin and continue a deep and mighty work in you. Now, there's some of you here who've not let him in. Who said, actually, I want to keep the reins of my life. I want to live my life in the way that I want to live it. Because I know if I let you in, God, I know if I let you in, it will get messy and long. And I don't want to do that. And what I would say to you this morning, would you just let him in? Trust him. All that he began to do and now continues to do, it's all about Jesus. It's who he is, our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You can trust him. Would you let him in? How do you know you can trust him? Because he died for you. He loves you that much. He gave his life for you. And it didn't stop there. He's so powerful. He rose again. Why? To radically overhaul your life for the greatest purposes you've ever known, the greatest satisfaction, the greatest security, the greatest peace, the greatest hope, the greatest service and worship to the one who's worthy of our worship. Let him in. Let him do his work. It's going to be longer. It's going to be messier. Oh, story after story of where this has been true in our church, our body, our people. I think of the soldier who God gave cancer to. And on the back porch during our men's Bible study, I mean, he's a gruff man. I mean, with like a chiseled face. And he said to our group, he goes, "The Lord is my Savior." Because the Lord had dismantled his whole life. And now he's putting it back together with greater glory and greater purpose. And I said, praise God. I think of a young couple who had their first kid, and you know what you do when you have your first kid. You go, oh my gosh, you know, what have we done? Like, are we supposed to take this thing home from the hospital and care for it, you know? You're like, and they showed up. They said, we want to get this baby baptized. And I said, well, let's just talk about what baptism is. It's about proclaiming who Jesus is and what he's done, that you trust in him. He saved you. And I said, have you guys ever trusted in Christ? And that began like a dismantling of their lives. They read the scriptures. They said, man, we want to trust in Christ. We want to get baptized. A long, messy journey. God doing his greater things. I think of the couple who showed up, and they've been married for 5 years, and he was on the brink of just a huge depression, and they've been isolated all through COVID, and they had two little kids at this point. Things were falling apart, and they met Christ here. And then they said, we want to build our marriage on Jesus himself. And I don't know if you were here that Sunday, but they did a recovenant ceremony right. A single gal who had given her life away to relationships that were leaving her without hope and without life. And she came to Christ and said, you can have it all. Do your work in me and through me for your purposes. And her life has been radically transformed. Oh, what a warrior for Christ she is today. So I say to you, I say to us as individuals, let him in, let him begin and continue his work. It will be longer, it will be messier, but it will be greater than anything you could ever imagine. Because he's worthy of our praise, we can trust him. Now I say to us, let him in, let him do his work through us as his church. I think of our local outreach teams. This is the refugee resettlement team. Like this past year, what we got to do in the beginning of things, we resettled our first family from Guatemala. They were fleeing gang violence. Their oldest son was almost kidnapped, right? And they show up here, we care for them, we bring the good news of the gospel. We got to furnish multiple apartments for multiple refugee families over the past few years. And we say, man, what we have done, right? What Jesus has done in and through us, might he do more? What might he do next? Think of our vulnerable children ministry and the babies who now have homes because they've been adopted, or the families who've been supported as they foster. I think, man, or the welcome offices in the county offices that were, I mean, they just looked disastrous. Like, who would want to welcome a kid or care for a kid in that room? And through us, Jesus, well, he refurnished them, made them amazing. So the county was like, wow, these are awesome. And I think, man, if that's what he's done, what might he do? Think of our Title I ministry. And feeding meal after meal to Georgian Forest on Thanksgiving, and all the parties we got to have, and then all the meals we got to give out weekend after weekend so kids could eat over the weekend, and then how our principal came to Christ, and how a guidance counselor came to Christ, and we say, man, if that's what you did, what might you do? Or the disabilities ministry that's getting going now, and the five families that receive care packages and have a relationship with Hilda and others that know and love Jesus here now at our church. That's what he did. What might he do? Or the homeless ministry that's getting off the ground right now because God put it in the heart of one of our members to start. And we say, oh man, if that's what you did, what might you do? I think of missions, right? And we've as a church over the past 13 years, have gotten to take 16 mission trips. And now the Lord in his grace has given us Ronald Luna. And I mean, it's like missions explosion. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's like, Matt, we're going to Ukraine. I'm like, that's a terrible idea. And he's like, well, we're going because the team has already signed up. And I'm like, okay, then we're going. And the team wants to go, and they did, and they preached the gospel in this auditorium full of people. Mario, an elder, is going to pray and close our service today, gets to preach the gospel there. And then 2 weeks later, that same auditorium blown to pieces. Or the team that went to Kenya, and it's our third trip to Kenya now, that goes into the slums of Kenya, and there's this kid there without any parents, and it's moved in our team to connect him with an orphanage. Now he's got care and stability. And we say, wow, if that's what you did, what might you do? Or this team that went to Costa Rica, and that's mostly students, high schoolers, some middle schoolers in there. If that's what you did, what might you do? What, man, I look at our Sunday morning. Did you see that gaggle of kids that went out of here? And typically 80-some kids on a Sunday morning hearing the good news of the gospel, being protected and cared for in an area that's so necessary. Growing up to know Jesus and love him. Can you imagine the first wedding we do with one of those kids here in this sanctuary? What a joy. If that's what he began to do, man, what might he do next? Because our Jesus is alive, and what he began, he's continuing to do. What he did then is just a start. He's still doing it. Then I think of the churches we've gotten to plant, and I say, oh, praise our God, you are able. It's the first church we set out and planted. And look, planting churches is a messy process full of God's grace. We sent out two churches. What might it look like if the Lord over time sent out church after church after church to saturate this area with the gospel? All our Savior began to do, he now continues. For his glory, for his purposes, in his people and through his people. And what I would ask you to do now, you all got a rock when you came in. I hope we didn't run out. I mean, we need a bigger church building. I don't know. There's a lot of visitors here. If you're visiting from Spring or the surrounding areas, please do come back. We will have a seat for you next week. Here's what I would like you to do. I want you to think of your life personally and all that Jesus has begun to do and what he might do in the future. So the first thing, and us as a church too, that I want us to write here on this rock, because Jesus has begun to do a work in you, how do I know you're here today? You're a part of the story he's writing in and through the well. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to write, you can write your first name or your family name real big on the rock. Write your name real big on the rock. If you need a Sharpie, you can borrow it from the person next to you. You're here because you're a part of this story that God is writing here through his Son, Jesus Christ, in his church and by his Spirit. So go ahead and write your name on one of these rocks. And then what I want you to write is just around your name on that same side of the rock, just different words, one word, What has Jesus begun in your life? What has he already done? Maybe he has given you freedom or peace or satisfaction. Maybe he's worked in your life a certain way, and you just want to write that thing out. Who is Jesus to you, or something you want to thank him for, or just who the Savior is to you? Or maybe you're just like, man, I'm still figuring it out, and you're writing that on there too. Go ahead and write just one word, a couple words, just, man, I just put trust. Taught me to trust more and more. But he saved me for myself. But grace, man, he showed me a lot of grace. What about for you? Now, this is all what Jesus has begun, right? With you, me, all of us here. You can keep writing words as they come to you, but then you'll flip the rock over, and I want to ask you, what might he do next? I want you to write the name of a neighbor, a coworker, a friend who doesn't yet know Jesus, family member. Just write some names on here. I'll probably just keep them to first names or even initials. Somebody you're like, man, I want you to know the love of the Savior, how much he loves you, what he's done for you. Write the names of those neighbors, those coworkers, those friends here. Write as many as you can think of. Now you can keep writing, but shift it to words. What do you hope or pray or dream he might even do through you or through us for his purposes? Try and capture that in a word. Like I know, man, we got some folks who are just passionate about foster care and adoption. Maybe you're writing foster or that no kid is ever left alone. Or I don't know. Just put it, how is the Lord, what would you pray? Or maybe there's something in your life you're praying for freedom or grace in, and just, Lord, would you do that in me? Through me for your purposes. Write those words there. Father, we come before you now as your people who know you and love you because of your grace. God, thank you for your Son. Thank you for who he is and all he's done. We want to worship him with our whole lives. We want to hand every piece of our lives over to him. He's begun a good work in us, God. Would you continue it and carry it on for generations? In each of us individually and us as your church. And God, would you do beyond all that we could ask or imagine for your glory, through your people, for generations to come, and all of eternity would be changed. We love you, we praise you, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for what you've even done in giving us this building. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if you're trusting in Christ, we're going to do it a little bit differently this morning. As we always do every Sunday, we take communion and remember who our Jesus is and what he's done. And we remember that he's still at work and he will return. So if you're trusting in Christ, would you come? It's going to get messy. Just come down the middle aisle and grab a piece of communion bread. Now, here's the wild part of this. This is the communion bread that Courtney would make in our basement in those very first days when began his work at the well. And so she baked enough bread for 300 folks, but I don't know. I think there's more. I don't know. Would you come up and would you take a piece of the bread and remember that God loves you that much that he sacrificed his only son to make you a son or make you a daughter. And would you dip that piece of bread in the cup here, this grape juice, as a reminder that his blood was spilled, he loves you that much. And would you drop your stone right there in that middle pail? We'll stack up just a bit of a memorial of all our God has begun to do with anticipation of what he might do next. So come when you're ready. Come down that middle aisle and remember who our God is and what he's done. He has certainly done beyond all we could ask or imagine, giving us salvation in his Son. What might he do next? Let's come and celebrate.